Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me, everybody. It's been a great week so far. We have we're gonna have plenty of guests on the show during this week, progressing into this weekend, all of this month. So tune into the George Wilder Jr. Show to find out what will be said or what will be done. It's always exciting. Thank you. You can always find me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, right here. Follow me all over the place, Google, Instagram, you name it, Twitter. Facebook once again. All right. But, you know, here I am. I'm on Amazon, too. I'm a writer. And thanks for being here to listen to the show, tuning into the show. You don't have to do this. You do it out of the goodness of your heart because you like what you hear on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And that's fine. That's OK. You know, I mean, if there's something you don't like, I mean, you don't have to tune me out. You know, I mean, if you want to, you can. That's up to you, because a lot of things we talk about on the show, sometimes it grabs people the wrong way, but we always try to, you know, speak our minds, our thoughts, and we put it out there to you. And I want to say once again, you're the reason why the George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air on internet radio, which I think is a good platform for this show. And there's a lot of internet radio shows out there, so you have so many to choose from. For your listening pleasure, for what you want to hear. And there is a lot of topics and issues that are different topics and issues that are being talked about on some of these internet talk shows, which is great. It was wonderful. I think it's enough. I don't call it a competition. I think it's enough room for everybody to do this. If you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to get yourself a radio show, a podcast, some people call it, do it. All you have to do is know that you have the talent to do this, because if some people, you know, do a podcast or a radio show on the internet once a month, once a week, you know, that's good. I don't know how anybody could have listenership like that. I really don't, but it happens. And I've always said to people who want to do podcasts or radio in general, to make sure you have the talent for it, because it is a lot to go. It's a lot that goes in it, especially if you want a legitimate radio show. If you just want to be on once a week or once a month, you know, this is not for you, because you really have to be on at least 4 or 5 days a week, you know, or either, you know, the weekend, Sunday and Saturday. You have to be on more than just one day a week. I think some shows get away with it, but, you know, I think if you're just starting out, you probably would want to go at least 3 to 4 days a week. That way you can, you know, get an audience. You can't get an audience just starting out being on the show one day a week and your airtime is 15 minutes. You're not going to get anything like that. You know, I mean, you're not going to keep an audience. People are not going to find you because you're not there, basically. And one of the, so you have to be consistent when you're doing a radio show if you want to be viable, if you want to be noticed, you know, and if you want people to gravitate towards you and make your show number one. The number one internet show in your neck of the woods, right? And another thing, besides, you know, trying to get noticed and trying to lure people to listen to your show, you got to have great content. I think you have to have, a great voice also, but maybe not. My voice is not as great as I want it to be. Some days it's great and some days it's not so great because it feels as though I'm stuttering. See there? There you go. And, I always come back on track, I believe. And I've been criticized for it. I have all of these things coming in my email. Well, George, we want to teach you how to talk on the radio. We want to, all you have to do is pay us. You know, I said, oh, yeah, all right, okay, whatever. But beside that, I think that one of the other things, one of the main things, you have to have content. You have to have, you have to talk about something that people are interested in. I mean, you cannot talk, even if you're talking about something that you're not interested in, you have to talk about people. You have to talk about people who are interesting also. You know, I'm just going from my own experience here, folks. Okay. I'm not taking what people have told me about being a radio host. I'm taking from my own experience of over 2 years. I mean, it feels like more than that, but it's just been a little over 2 years that I've been doing this, and I've got around 300 shows, 300 or 400 shows under my belt. Some were deleted because of quality. I deleted them myself. I deleted a lot of shows myself because I didn't feel that they were up to quality. And I'm still learning, folks. I'm still learning the game. I'm still learning how to be a radio host. I'm still learning how to accommodate guests when they're on the show. And a lot of the guests, they're so beautiful. They're so wonderful. And they're understanding. You know, oh, George, you said a bad word. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And it's great. So if you want to do a podcast, I mean, it will cost you. You know, it costs me to do this show. It's not free. And I pay for it because I love doing it. I love doing it. It's not free, but, you know, I think it's economical. I think some of the other internet radio shows, podcasts are much higher. They're much steeper. And some people ask me, do I get paid? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'd rather, you know, just have people listening and just to get paid for something that you enjoy doing, folks. That is just so amazing. That's so wonderful. You're getting paid to have fun. You're getting paid to do what you always wanted to do. And it would probably do this if I wasn't getting paid for it. And, you know, and that's how much I just love doing a talk show. I love doing this and I love helping people throughout the world. And I've been told that I have, but it doesn't affect me. I'm just a regular guy, folks. Someone you see probably in the grocery store at some point. I'm just a regular family guy, you know, so that's it. That's it. So if you want to do a podcast, do it. But you have to have talent to do it, because like I said, even if you're doing it alone by yourself, you're going to still need talent. There's a lot of podcasts around town that you got three or four people running one radio station and you got four or five people on it. And then you've got some podcasts where there's just the host. That's it. No one else. The host does everything. So if the host is going to do a lot, that host is going to have to wear many hats, the producer, the radio host, the person who booked guests for the show, the topics, the issues, whatever. So, but there are a lot of people out here with podcasts and they don't have a co-host or anything. It's just them by themselves on the radio. And that's great. That's wonderful. Especially if this particular podcast can, you know, draw in your interest, can interest you in any way. I mean, hey, wow, I don't care. You know, a great show is a great show. No doubt about that. A great show is a great show. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Enough of my rambling, folks. All right, we've got some trouble down in New Orleans. I mean, four twisters, four tornadoes. It's a state of emergency, folks. A lot of people are in home. A lot of people are homeless, pardon me, and in shelters. So we're going to have to pray for those people. Some people are saying that this is worse than Katrina. I think Katrina happened back in 2005. See what I mean, folks? 2005. I'm just getting this information in. And it always breaks my heart when people wind up homeless. Good people wind up homeless and in shelters. And you figure these people, once they, you know, get their heads on straight again, that they're going to have to start over, because basically they've lost everything. They've lost everything. New Orleans, folks. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you people out there heard this, especially if you are glued to the news, you probably heard something like this. It's just heartbreaking. And at this point, it's called breaking news. So, you know, it's all over the place. So, all right, so in New Orleans, state of emergency, you know, four twisters that ripping up and tearing up a section of New Orleans, to be specific, Louisiana. And we can just pray for those people and pray for them to get back on their feet and pray that no one has been hurt. I mean, if you lose pictures, mementos, clothes, you know, these things you can get again. You know, and your home, if you're lucky, you can rebuild it, you know. So as long as you escape with your life, you've been blessed. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is writer Renaud Poirier-Foy. He's got a weird name, if it is a male. So we're just going to wait for this guest to appear on the show and to appear on the show, and we will ask him or her to tell us how to pronounce their names, because I'm pretty sure the first name is Renaud. Okay, if I'm wrong, then I'll just say I'm sorry. All right, I want everybody out there to be kind to each other, be nice to each other, help one another out, be there for one another. This is America, and, you know, we've got to keep it America. We got to keep our American values, because at this point, folks, as you probably know, that is at stake. That is at stake. Let's see. Oh, yeah, something good, folks. Obama, I don't have much news on this, but it appears that Obama may get a holiday. You know, I've got to research this a little bit more and bring you some more detail on this, but this has shocked me. A holiday or something commemorating him on his birthday. So they're looking into that, from my understanding. And if I'm wrong on this, I apologize, but you know, I'm gonna dig deeper into it. Obama's getting a holiday? Barack Obama? Do you think that he deserves a holiday, or should he forfeit and not accept it if someone should ask him if he wants his name to be up there alongside of Martin Luther King as a holiday? Wow, that is interesting. Do you believe Obama should be getting a holiday? You know, most of this happens when people are dead, right? But I guess they want to do this before he dies, or, you know. All right, 347-857-1762. Obama's getting a holiday, or they're talking about it. But it is in the news that this is going to happen, or will happen, or they're thinking about making it happen. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are going to take a musical break. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
And hello, friends of women of Massachusetts. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Walsh. I am glad to have this chance to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight alongside the mayor of Boston for the people of this country. Thank you. So, we're here today because of the power of women. The power of women to come up with good ideas like this rally. The power of women to organize like this rally. And the power of women to make sure that as our country enters a new political era, that the voices of the people will be heard. Yesterday, Donald Trump was sworn in as president. That sight is now burned into my eyes forever. And I hope the same is true for you. Because we will not forget. We do not want to forget. We will use that vision to make sure that we fight harder, we fight tougher, and we fight more passionately than ever, not just for the people whom Donald Trump supports, but for all of America. People are worried. Donald Trump's campaign was about attacks on women, attacks on African Americans, attacks on Latinos, attacks on religious groups, attacks on immigrants. A Trump-Pence Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade and dissolve marriages of LGBTQ citizens. A Republican Congress is eager to rip away health care from millions of Americans. America's hardworking families have taken one punch after another. Decades of trickle-down economics and attacks on unions, attacks on wages, attacks on pensions, attacks on health care, attacks on Social Security, attacks on education, attacks on infrastructure and financial regulation have gutted America's middle class. A broken criminal justice system, a broken voting rights system, and decades of systematic racism have kept people of color from having the same opportunities as other Americans throughout this country. The fact is that the playing field has been tilted badly in favor of those at the top for a generation now. And now, President Trump and the Republican Congress are ready to ram through laws that will tilt it even harder. Now, we can whimper, we can whine, or we can fight back. Me, I'm here to fight back. That's why we come together today. Hundreds of thousands of people in Boston, in Washington, and across this country, we are in marches to say we are fighting back. That's who we are. We come here to stand shoulder to shoulder, to make clear we are here, we will not be silent. We will not play dead. We will fight for what we believe in.
Yeah! You bet.
We have a vision, and that vision defines who we are as a people. First, we fight for basic dignity and respect for every human being, period. No compromise, no backing up. And second, we fight for economic opportunity, not just for those at the top, but for everyone. All of our kids deserve a fighting chance to get ahead. Respect for everyone, economic opportunity for everyone. That is the American deal, and that's what we fight for. You know, those core principles call out the best in who we are. For too long, American families have seen a government and an economy that isn't working for them. And Trump and the Republicans promised to make America worse. But we're here because we are ready to fight for the people who want to build a country that works for all of us. That's why we're here. We come together to give each other strength. We come together to give each other courage. We come together to remind each other of our values. As we get ready to march, let us remind each other what we believe in and why we fight and why we will keep right on fighting. We believe that no one in this country should work full time and live in poverty. And that means raising the minimum wage. Yes, it does. Paid overtime, sick leave, we will fight for it. We believe that workers have a right to come together and to bargain together. Unions built America's middle class, and unions will rebuild America's middle class. We believe that every young person is entitled to get an education without getting crushed by student loan debt. We believe in debt-free college. Now, I'm going to say something that is really controversial in some places in Washington. We believe in science. Change is real, and we have a moral responsibility to protect this earth for our children and our grandchildren. We also believe that immigration makes us a stronger country. We will not build a stupid wall. Believe that sexism, racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger. We believe that equal means equal. And that's true in marriage. It's true every place. We will never stop fighting to ensure equality for all of our citizens. You know, I could do this all day.
Yeah, but I can't. Thanks. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. It's beautiful. It's about, I believe, about 50-something degrees in Chicago. This is February, and it's 50. We're supposed to be freezing. It is supposed to be cold, but it's nice. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's weird for February, especially in the city of Chicago. All right? A great city, a great town, great people, all of that good stuff. All right. Okay, I see we have a caller. Let's check this out. Okay, you are on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're on. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, this is Renaud Purifoy. I believe we were supposed to interview at this time.
Of course. I mean, you're on my screen as I speak. You're on my screen. Okay. I didn't want to pronounce your last name because I didn't want to mess it up. So I was going to wait till you got on the show so you can tell us all and pronounce your last name, because it's spelled kind of weird. How would you do it?
Well, with my classes, I used to tell them my class is going to be Pure Joy, so my name is Purifoy.
Purifoy. Really? Okay, that's a good way of pronouncing it when you put it in that text. Great. All right, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a bio and tell us about your book, Taming of the Beast. Taming the Beast.
Right. Anger, Taming the Beast.
Anger.
It's actually the second edition. Emotions have just been something that have fascinated me for a long time. In fact, in high school, they used to call me Mr. Sparks. But
wow.
I was a counselor for 20 years, specializing in anxiety disorders and trauma. Then I retired from that and taught for about 15 years, and now I'm basically just freelancing, back writing, doing some teaching, a little bit of counseling still. And that's kind of what I've done in terms of my career. I've got 4 books that I've written, and they're doing pretty good. The first one sold about 250,000 now, so it's done real well.
Wow, congrats. What made you want to talk about, I'm just curious, what made you want to talk about anger?
Well, anger is, like a lot of emotions, is oftentimes really misunderstood. In fact, emotions in general tend to be really misunderstood. It always fascinates me how we talk about them. Anger, actually, whenever you assert yourself, there's some anger underneath it. It's an emotion that really we have lots and lots of words. We could probably come up with 50 different words to describe different levels of anger, from being irritated and bugged to, enraged and just angry or miffed or whatever. Somebody stepping on your toes, and you say, you're stepping on my toes. Would you get off, please? That's some irritation is driving that behavior. And that's the positive side of anger.
I was angry today. There was something that really ticked me off, and I exploded. But then I had to go and tell myself, relax, calm down. It's not that bad.
Which is a good thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
One of the biggest problems with anger, again, is people don't manage it very well. In fact, it seems like nowadays people get more irrational and they're acting out their emotions. You know, when a two-year-old acts out of his emotions, we say, that's what a two-year-old does. When an adult does that, we say, you're acting like a two-year-old. I mean, the point is we can control our emotions if we choose to. A lot of people choose not to, and it creates a lot of havoc around them.
I totally agree. I think a lot of people choose not to control their anger, and you might agree with this. I think everybody who's anybody, they're susceptible to getting angry. I mean, it's just a part of our life. It's a part of our psyche, just to get angry. But you're saying learn how to control it. How do you do that?
Well, it works on a number of different levels. First of all, let's say what anger is. It's basically a response to threat. When you are feeling threatened or you perceived a threat somewhere, you have two basic responses. You either become angry or you become afraid. And which way you go depends a lot upon how you perceive your ability to deal with a threat. If you think the threat's going to be too much for you, you become afraid and you want to get away. And if you feel the threat is going to be manageable, then you'll get angry and you're going to take it out. And again, that just might be a simple thing, where you just get irritated and you assert yourself, which is, again, positive anger, right? When you're asserting yourself to create change. Negative would be, again, when you're going to take it out by doing something destructive. In fact, I like to look at three aspects of anger. First of all, is there a real threat that you're getting angry about? And second, is the level of your anger appropriate to the threat? And then third, of course, is your behavior going to minimize that threat with the least amount of harm to yourself and others? If all those three things are true, then I would say your anger is appropriate and probably going to, result in some kind of a positive change. But again, a lot of times people get angry when there's no threat. And there's a lot of things that can cause that. For example, let's say I have the belief that I need to be strong and in control, right? In fact, the anger a lot of times is used to cover up weak emotions. Because when you feel angry, you got that adrenaline coursing through your veins. You feel strong. There's a physical sense of strength. And so let's say I'm supposed to know what I'm doing and be in control, and I'm working on the car, and I got a part left over. Well, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. I'm not supposed to have this part left over. Enter the wife or the kid, and they say, hey, how's it going, Dad? And it's easier to get angry and feel strong than to sit there and feel stupid. In fact, a simple little story from my own life back, I lived in Japan for 2 years. My wife's Asian American. And we'd go into department stores, and after a while I'd start crabbing and, at her and kind of be irritable. And I know that's hard for people to imagine me doing that, but I did. Mm-hmm. And wives are great because they'll point that type of thing out to you, right?
Yeah.
So I thought about it, and what was going on is, you know, my Japanese was not that great, and, you know, barely able to, you know, communicate, and I didn't know a lot of the cultures, and so I was really embarrassed, and for me, embarrassment is not an okay emotion, and so I'd start to get embarrassed, and instead I'd convert it to anger, because now at least I felt in control and strong physically. Once I made that connection, you know, I'd start to see myself, you know, getting irritable, and I'd say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Am I really just embarrassed because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing? And once I thought that, the anger would just disappear, and of course I'd be in touch with my embarrassment, which was not okay, but, you know, at least now I was able to be in the here and the now and function fully, right? So that's what that's one example of inappropriate anger that can happen when you've got some kind of emotion or thing that you don't want to deal with. I know, like when I'm down at my brother's house, we're watching a TV program or something, and a tender moment comes on. We start talking politics. We've got to go out and clean those gutters, right? It's not a place where he wants to go to. So things things like that can trigger anger. As well as just plain old irrational thinking. You know, people got a lot of ways that they think where, you know, they're really not in the here and now. They're not being rational. And when you are irrational, then you exaggerate the threats that are out there.
Yeah. What are some practical ways to cope with stress, embarrassment, and shame?
Well, first of all, I think it's embarrassment and shame. Shame is where you feel somehow I've done something wrong. You know, I've done something that I'm not supposed to do, right? And so you're feeling bad about it. And I think with that particular one, just coming to terms with the fact that you're a human being and you're going to mess up a lot and becoming okay with that. That doesn't mean you take license to, you know, intentionally do that, but we're all going to mess up from time to time. When I first started doing public speaking, I didn't want to make mistakes. And when I would make a mistake or something, I'd get all flustered, right? And then I decided, okay, you know, I'm going to quit trying to cover it up. And so if I'd make a mistake, I'd say, hey, you know, I just really messed up there. But that's okay. I'll get it right next time. And once I started doing that,
sounds like me.
No more embarrassment. You know?
Yeah.
So part of accepting who you are as a human being and being okay with that, that helps a lot in those types of things.
I totally agree. I think you have to look at yourself and accept your faults. And I think once you accept your faults, you start to get a little bit better, you know, and I've done that. So, you know, how do you relate your feelings of others without losing your cool?
Well, part of it is training. I mean, so much of inappropriate anger is just poor childhood training, you know, quite frankly. When you're dealing with people with, like, with spousal abuse situations and stuff, you find there's two things that keep people locked into the destructive behaviors. The first thing is they will refuse to accept the fact that they have control, and they'll say things like, well, you know, this is just the way I am. You know, I was born this way. You know, I can't help myself. And yet when you point out to them that when they're in front of the judge or, you know, a police officer or their boss or something like that, they tend to keep their cool, and they tend to only blow around the wife or kids or in situations, quote, where, you know, it's safer to blow. And they actually exercise a lot more control than they realize. And again, as I was saying earlier, we can control our emotions. And the second thing they do is they minimize the consequences, right? So I smacked her a couple times. What's the big deal? You know, she gets over it. You know, we're cool, you know. And a lot of times until there's some kind of really important negative, you know, like law enforcement or something gets involved with it, then they realize, well, I can't control my behavior and there are negative consequences. People who are explosive, one of the things that happens is they're getting a lot of social control. Because, again, people who have a short fuse and other people know it, then they walk around on eggshells around them. And, of course, in some situations, you grow up in a rough neighborhood, that might be survival, right? You get in my face, you're going to be sorry. And if you can, you know, carry that out, then, you know, you get your way a lot. But in, you know, when you get into, like, most American culture, you know, regardless of where you're at, then you're going to find you're going to start alienating people, and your primary relationships tend to be really poor, and then you want more control, and so it's kind of a really vicious cycle you get into. So recognizing there's consequences for not controlling yourself, and it may not be immediate, but at some point in time, it's going to come back and bite you, and that you do have the ability to control. That's the first step. And then you need to start practicing. And what you were talking about earlier, you know, the walk-away strategy, the taking time to cool down, you look at people who manage anger well, that's just something that they've learned, you know, growing up, either because that's the way their parents, you know, behaved, or that's because they were taught that, or sometimes they learned it on their own. But, yeah, the first thing to do is if you feel like you're moving out of control or your anger is really hot, then you need to calm down. And because when you get angry, you lose your ability to think rationally. Any strong emotion kind of cuts off some of that rational ability, and you become very black and white in your thinking. And so learning to calm down is important. And learning what your enemies are. Some of your enemies are sick, hungry, tired, stress. My wife and I made a rule early on in our marriage, and we've been married 43 years now, that we don't talk about anything important before dinner. So you come home, you're tired from a hard day. She comes in, she's tired from a hard day. Let's talk about finances. Now, that's a great discussion, right? So if you wait until after dinner, I mean, you know, things get out of control very easily, right? And so you wait until after dinner people have been fed, you're kind of calmed down, everybody's feeling good. Yeah. Now you've got all your rational ability about you, and so, you know, you can have a much better discussion. So just learning that, you know, there are times when maybe I need to just keep my mouth shut, do the basics of it, you know, deal with it a little bit later when I'm more rational. It's important, too. But we have this myth, a lot of people, that, you know, I can function right no matter what I'm feeling, what's going on. You know, I can make myself function at 100%. And, you know, we get that a lot from the movies and stuff we watch. You know, we see the guy thrown out of the airplane, shot, run over, beat up, and he's still trudging along, you know. In real life, that's not the way it is. You know, your body's a machine. You know, when you get sick, hungry, tired, you're stressed out, you don't function as well as you normally do. And just learning that simple thing sometimes makes all the difference in the world. And so when you catch
it's a lot of angry people. It's a lot of angry people in the world. And I think most of those angry. Yeah, it's a lot of people. I mean, I sometimes walk down the street and the people that are passing me front and back they're angry about something, and they'll look at me and angry at me, and I don't even know these people. You know, anger is, I think it's a disease, if you can say that. In some circles, it's a disease, because there's people who are always angry 24/7, you know. And I think those people, it is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you say can be broken. It can be reduced or maybe eliminated.
Well, you never want to eliminate anger. It's like saying I'm going to eliminate thirst, right? when your body needs water, you get thirsty. And when you feel threatened, you're going to become angry, or you're going to become frightened. Mm. And again, that's just part of how we're wired. In fact, take a moment and go into the other. Yeah.
But you know what? There are some people. Yeah, it is. But anyway, there are some people, maybe not that many, never get angry. They do not let anger interfere with what they're doing. I've met some people who never get angry. They're always nice and sweet and kind and agreeable, but that's few and far between.
Yeah, well, they get angry. They just express it differently. They're good at let me address it. There's two types of people that you might be describing. One, the person who always suppresses anger, but then again, they never assert themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is they'll end up doing things like passive-aggressive things. You know, forgot that was so important to you. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I messed that up for you. That sort of thing, right? The person who just, you know, they have good assertive skills, and so they're able to speak up and, you know, deal with people in a here and now rational but appropriate way. And that's how they manage their anger. I mean, ideally, that's where we go for. Because if there's something mm-hmm. threatening you, and it's a real threat, you need to take some action. You know, what that action is mm-hmm. will depend mm-hmm. upon what it is, right? If mm-hmm. it's just simply, you know, if there's something at work, you're going to deal with it differently from something at home. But again, a lot of people are really good at speaking up and asserting themselves appropriately, and so that's how they manage their anger.
Is there a way, you might have just answered it, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. Is there a way to use anger in a positive way?
Yeah, pretty much what I just said. When
yeah, I just I figured
you're feeling
that.
Angry, you need to first of all decide, you know, is there a real threat, right? Mm-hmm. And if there is, like I might lose my job if this happens, then what am I going to do about it? You know, and what, you know, and then that action is, again, is it going to be an appropriate action or is it going to be not, inappropriate? And basically we're talking about assertiveness skills, you know. And again, that's different from aggression. People get those two mixed up all the time. They think being aggressive is being assertive, and it's not. Being assertive is being able to speak up and be socially effective. Sometimes it means negotiating, you know. Again, I like to look at it as a continuum. You got the non-assertive person who basically, I'm going to take care of your needs and ignore my own whenever I'm in conflict. And a lot of times they've grown up in an environment where maybe there was violence or whether it was modeled that you never get angry, you never take care of yourself, you always take care of other people's needs. Then the other end of that, of course, is I'm going to win. I just care about my needs and me. I don't care about you. And that tends to be more of the aggressive person, right? And so we're talking about something in between where, you know, I'm going to try to meet both of our needs and negotiate with you if we can. And indeed, that's, you look at people that are really successful, they're good at negotiating. That's part of being effective in life.
Mm. Anger, Taming the Beast. Renaud Portfoy on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Can you tell us where we can find this great book? It sounds like a wonderful book. It sounds like a book that anybody out there who has anger issues, this probably is would make a good read for you. Tell us where we can go find it.
Easiest place is the website. That's yhyyemotions.com. Mm-hmm. And then that has links to my YouTube channel and Amazon and Kindle. And then if you want the non-standard electric forums, and Smashwords has the EPUB and some of those types of formats.
Okay. And I can see why you say at the beginning of the show that the book is doing pretty well.
This one's been doing okay. It's not
okay.
As good as
all
my
right.
anxiety book, but I'm doing a bunch of interviews
okay.
like this is how you get them out. So
no problem with that. All right. Thanks for being on the show. You've been great.
Well, thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. All right. The Anger, Taming of the Beast. You guys go out there and you get that book. All right. Especially if you know someone with anger issues. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are going to do, not that. We don't want to do that. Let's do Keith. All right.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Trump has promised a news conference Wednesday. I'll believe it when I see it. He has every reason to cancel it or simply ignore his promise. The trick worked with the news conference about his wife's reported immigration irregularities. The trick worked with the news conference he scheduled for December 15th to address his potential business conflicts of interest. The trick worked when he promised for last Tuesday or Wednesday revelations about Russia's hacking of the election. Of course, Trump has broken his promise. It's a Trump promise. But this news conference is designed as, and here is my favorite word again, chaff, to deflect from the now four confirmation hearings Trump and his Senate monkey Mitch McConnell have scheduled for the same day, including the confirmation of a nominee who had not yet been vetted by the ethics office, DeVos at Education, including the confirmation of the man who defines the corporate globalism Trump himself specifically denounced as recently as December 1st, Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson, who's actually a resident of the nation of Exxon. To deflect from these real problems, Tillerson is like the John Houseman and Ned Beatty characters from the movies Rollerball and Network. Trump has to say something outrageous, to start a new flimsy controversy at a news conference, to lie about somebody, to dig up a new scapegoat, to find a way to attack Hillary Clinton, or NBC, or me, or you. But Trump's handlers have a problem. His increasingly self-destructive statements about Russia and hacking and the Putin WikiLeaks scandal have suggested Trump is losing what little self-control he still has, and that there is every reason to suppose that instead of providing chaff to protect Tillerson and the rest of this gang of pirates he has nominated, he will instead reveal something impeachable about himself. Again, like he did at his last news conference, if only the country had fully understood it at the time. There is a specific reason Trump has not held a news conference since the 27th of July last year. It is because on that day he inadvertently eliminated the need to prove that his campaign knew in advance that Russia was hacking American computers for the specific purpose of putting him in as its puppet in the White House. After that July 27th news conference, proof of that was no longer needed. We instead had solicitation of an identical crime. That was the day he asked Russia to hack American computers for him personally. He was asked about Russia and the hacking that had already been done, and instead he answered about Russia and the hacking he would like to see.
And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens.
And in the same news conference, the follow-up question from my pal Katie Turr, no less.
That's up to the president. Let the president talk to him. Look, here's the problem. Here's the problem, Katie. Katie, here's the problem. Very simple. He has no respect.
She then references his call to have them release 30,000 Hillary Clinton emails. He resumes, quote, well, they probably have them. I'd like to have them released. She is incredulous. Does that not give you pause? He resumes because even then he could not leave it alone.
No, gives me no pause. If they have them, they have them. We might as well find. Hey, you know what gives me more pause? That a person in our government, crooked Hillary Clinton, here's what gives me more. Be quiet. I know you want to, you know, save her. That a person in our government, Katie, would delete or get rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a big problem. After she gets a subpoena, she gets subpoenaed, and she gets rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a problem. Now, if Russia...
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, the band is on the edge. So Trump and his goons are in front of an appeals court trying to lift the temporary ban on his executive order, banning Muslims from 7 different countries that had nothing to do with the attack on America, especially 9/11. Had nothing to do with it. They're saying the only reason why he banned those particular countries and not the other countries that attacked us is because he has some sort of business interest
in those countries, which is totally wrong. And now at any minute now, we're going to find out if the temporary ban that's in place will be lifted by this court. Because my understanding now that they are in court right now arguing this case in front of a judge to lift the temporary ban, to reinstate it, you know. Appeals judge grills administration. Trump lawyers claim unreviewable. Claims unreviewable. White House power. Decision later this week. They were saying it was going to happen today. Now they're saying later this week. But anyway, Trump and his lawyers are in court to stop people from entering this country and even leaving the country. I mean, he's going to put a stay on visas again. I mean, but this is, some people are saying if this doesn't get through the appeals court, it's going to go to the Supreme Court. Whether a three-judge panel agrees to go along and could be an early test for the president's authority. Trump believes he's king of the world, and nobody can mess with Trump because he got this. He calls the shots, as he has stated. Those are his words. I call the shots. Less than 3 weeks since President Donald Trump took office, lawyers for the administration seem to have a hard time this Tuesday convincing a panel of federal appeal judges to reinstate his, oh man, this looks bad, to reinstate his executive order excluding refugees and immigrants from seven Muslim majority nations from entering the United States. So this paragraph that I just got through reading, folks, it sounds like it's not good. It's not good for Donald Trump, that is. And it's, you know, because it sounds like that these judges are on the side of the people. Some people have said that these judges are liberal judges. So, and Trump would have a hard time. I don't know if they're liberal, if they're Republican, or if they're conservative. All I know is that they should deal a blow to the Trump administration, telling the Trump administration that they are not above the damn law. They are not above the law. Trump, I think he's being grilled on that he's not above the law. It's not, you know, I say do this, and suddenly we're all scrambling to get it done. Trump is not king. He's not an emperor. But he acts as if he is. Now, he talked about crime in the city of Chicago. I know some of you probably heard that. Trump railed about the high crime in the city of Chicago. What's wrong with Chicago? You know, he sits there in the Oval Office or wherever he sits in the White House, and he just bashes Chicago. I mean, before the election, he was saying he could solve Chicago's crime in 1 week. I mean, he still contacts, he's in touch with the administration in Chicago on crime. But yet we in Chicago, we have yet to see anything yet positive coming from Trump pertaining to doing something about Chicago crime. I think there's some federal officers who have arrived from Washington, but excuse me, folks, I've got something in my eye. But anyway, he has done nothing. He's generally done nothing but talk. A lot of people are saying that Trump is just grandstanding on Chicago crime. He actually doesn't give a damn about it. He actually doesn't care. It's just something that he's just trying to bring more attention to himself by mentioning Chicago's crime. It is high. It is ridiculous. And I'm so glad that the authorities here finally admitted that they need help. And there's certain types of help that they're turning down, and that's the National Guard. They say they don't want that. I totally disagree. I mean, if the carnage keeps on rising, you should accept any kind of help there is to stop people from dying in the streets. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure myself and other talk show hosts have been heard around the city as talking National Guard. And some of these so-called leaders, I mean, they really hit back viciously, saying that they do not want the National Guard. And I don't know why. And they actually think that some of us out here who are railing for the National Guard, that we're stupid, we're crazy, we're dumb, we don't know any better. I mean, you got some families in these communities saying they will take any kind of help that they can get. If they can stop the shooting, stop the killing, if they can feel safe in their own communities, they will take any kind of help available. And yet you got the city, maybe the state, saying, no, we're not going to send you these people. We're not going to send the National Guard. We're going to send out a few FBI agents. You know, so, I mean, the help is there. Why not take it? Why not use it? And stop bashing people who are for the National Guard, because a lot of these folks in these communities, these residents living on these crime-ridden streets, they are saying, yeah, send in the National Guard so we can be able to sleep comfortably at night. So some of these so-called leaders on the south and west sides of Chicago, they should stop it. Any kind of help in any form on these Chicago streets are welcomed, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a leader. I'm not a mayor. I'm not any of that out here on the south and west sides of the city, that is. All I know is the crime statistics for 2017, January, February 2017, much higher and getting higher than of last year, January of 2016. 2017 is higher than the statistics of 2016. And it's getting higher, and the police can't seem to get a hold on this. They can't seem to get a grip on this crime. They keep saying we have a plan to do this. We got a plan to do this. We're coming up with this. Obviously, none of it works. And how can you sit there and let these people out here, these leaders, so-called leaders, gathering around and saying, no National Guard? Why? What is it? Why? Give us a good reason why. Just don't say no National Guard in some of these really, really high crime neighborhoods and areas without giving us a reason why. You're going to let people die. The police can't handle it. Give me a break. They even admitted such. Superintendent, we're going to get better. We're going to get it right. We're going to get it better. That means for years they haven't gotten it right, and they still haven't gotten it right because people are still dying. Give me a break. And, you know, it's constantly going up in the city of Chicago. Crime, crime, crime. And Trump, I'm going to say this again, this guy is just grandstanding on Chicago's crime. He's using, in my opinion, Chicago's situation, crime situation, to put the spotlight on himself. That's it, because Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump. But I think he's getting a rude awakening now that he's president of the United States, that he can't do what the hell he wants to do. I mean, he has to realize he's not above the law. I'm pretty sure he thought that on his first week in office, because this guy was, I mean, he was signing executive orders like no other president in history has done. I mean, he was really raking them out, and he was on TV doing it because he's all about Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump runs the White House and the White House staff, especially in the Oval Office. He ran his television show, The Apprentice. I mean, when you look in the White House and you see Donald Trump sitting at an oblong table surrounding him, in back of him, in front of him, on the sides of him, he looks like he's doing a television show. He looks like he's doing a television show, you know, because that's what he is. I mean, Robert De Niro called him a carnival man. I mean, I think it was Stephen, the author, called him a carnival man. And that's what he appeared to me, like a carnival man. He's an actor. He's a showman. He's a con man. He's not a president. And there's no doubt about it that these last 2.5 weeks that he's been in office, Donald Trump has been winging it as he goes. He's been governing by impulse. In other words, I think he's been doing too many things too fast, too quickly, without realizing the consequences. You don't do that. It's crazy. It's nutty. But Donald Trump does it. He does things on the fly. Oh, I'm going to pass this bill. He signs it. Bing. You know, so now he's in court. His lawyers are in court, and we are supposed to have some sort of verdict tomorrow, whether this ban will be returned to return back to not accepting people from this country, which was told to be unconstitutional by a federal judge, which Donald Trump called a so-called judge. We can call Donald Trump a so-called president. He's got a nerve talking about people, but this is Donald Trump. I mean, if you don't do something that he likes, you are a scumbag. Regardless, if you disagree with him, you are a scumbag. If you didn't vote for him, he will tell you, he will tweet out that you are a scumbag. If you don't like him, if you don't, you know, I mean, if you're criticizing him, you are a scumbag. Now he's in another fight with Saturday Night Live because he doesn't like the sketches of him and his press secretary, which I think was spot on. He's calling the show low ratings. He's saying the show has low ratings, and the show's rating is, the ratings are through the roof. But Donald Trump is not about the truth. I don't think Donald Trump can stand the truth. Neither can that woman, Kelly Conway. Some people call her Kelly Conjob, but I think Kelly Conjob is probably more precise and more direct toward this lady, because she just get on television and she just lies her ass off. They all lie. They take after their boss, Donald Trump. And I've said on this show before that I would like to see Donald Trump be successful, a successful president. Actually, in some cases, I don't want to see him impeached. I don't want to see him fail. But the guy is already, in some circles, it's already being talked about. I'm talking about in Washington, that he should be impeached. Some of the things he's doing is just wrecking America. You notice how he doesn't talk about, this is his third week in as president of the United States. And you notice how he doesn't talk about making America great again? I mean, that was his slogan all through the campaign, making America great again. But since he's been president for at least 2.5 to 3 weeks from the date of this show, I haven't heard him say it or his goons say anything about making America great again, because they are not making it great again. They are making America unsafe. Unsafe. I mean, all these people that he's picked for his cabinet are millionaires, billionaires. I mean, when he was running for president of the United States, he was saying he was going to rein in Wall Street. He was going to rein in Wall Street. But for his cabinet picks, that's all he has chosen are Wall Streeters, billionaires, millionaires, up and down the line. And now we got Betty, is it Betsy or Betty? Betsy DeVos. She's been confirmed. And this woman has no idea what the public school system is like, but she's been named to the Department of Education with no experience. No experience. But however, she's a billionaire. She's a Wall Streeter. Basically, that's how she made her money. And now we're looking at the destruction or the dismantling of public schools in America. it's going to be a mess. America is not going to be America under the Trump administration. This guy railed, I mean, really sold it to some people that he was going to make America great again. America has never been more disappointing than it is now under this president. And it's getting more disappointing as time goes along. The Republicans are just, you know, running this country the way they want to run it. They're in control. They're in charge. They're in control. The Democrats, they have lost. They've lost this. They have the good, they're on the right side of everything, just about, but they don't know how to fight. They lose. This is why I am not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I left the Democratic Party a long time ago because of just what I've said. These people are losers. And I remember in 2010 when Obama was president and the Democrats had the Congress. They had the White, they had the Senate, they had the House of Representatives. The reason why they lost it is because they were bickering, arguing, for FaceTime on the damn TV, on TV, and they couldn't get along. They were just obsessed with power and still not getting anything done for the American people, even though the Democrats had everything, had it all in 2010. They lost it. They bickered. They couldn't get along. They did not produce. They lost everything. And since then, it's been the Republicans all the way. But this is really bad because now the Republicans control the White House. They've got the House of Representatives and they have the Senate. The House of Representatives are the body of Congress that spends money. So if they spend money, and they're going to take it away because that they've been talking about spending for years. Spending. They're going to cut spending here, cut spending there. Social Security, Medicaid, whatever it is. If they're spending for it, they're going to cut it. But I'm going to say this again, too. The only way that we're going to get somewhere is to fight for it, to take it back. Get out here in the streets peacefully, nonviolently, and protest against this administration, period. And resist. Resist. That's the word, resist. Do I want to do this? Do I want the people to? No. People got other things to do. But this is their country. They love this country. We love this country. We're not going to let Trump and his goons destroy America, because this is what they're looking to do. And even if they don't realize that they are destroying America, we got to let them know that they are. This is just ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. And now Betsy DeVos is, I think, Secretary of Education. And it's going to be the schools that we know now are going to be gone. I think she favors charter schools more over than she does public schools. But, you know, it's going to be a challenging time, folks. If you are an advocate for public education, well, then you better put on your walking shoes and grab your sign, because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. This person is going to destroy the school system as we know it. There's no doubt about that. And we're just going to have to stop that. We're going to have to stop Donald Trump, period. Stop him, period. Because Conway and Donald Trump, a con job, if you want to say that, these people love twisting the facts, the lies. Facts have no concept for them. And we're just going to have to... It's going to be a long fight, folks. We've got to fight. We just cannot sit back and take it. We cannot sit back and just let it happen, especially if we don't like it. If you don't like something going on in your country, in your neighborhood, in your community, you have the right to get out there and do something to make a difference. We got to make a difference in this country. We got to let them know that we are the people. We are the Constitution. We are the government. They work for us. We don't work for them. They work for us. And they don't work for the 1%. They don't work for the millionaires and the billionaires. They work for the grassroots people who go to work every day, you know, taking care of a family, have a house and a car. They work for us. Kids in college, kids in school, they work for us in Washington. They forget that. In some cases with the Republicans, it's all about their party. It's not about America. It's not about the people. It's about their party. It's about Republicans in Congress, not the people of America. It's about them, what they want. It's about we're stupid, we're dumb, we're ignorant. If we're not rich, you know, if we don't have the money, we're obsolete to them. And that's true. They're only going to look out for people who are rich like they are. They're not going to go after the person on food stamps or getting welfare or someone working at a low standard job. They're going to look to make your life worse because you ain't got nothing. And if you ain't got nothing, then that's your problem. You ain't got it and you won't have it. They're going to take away your food stamp. They're going to take away that job. I mean, they're not going to think about or vote on increasing the minimum wage in this country. They want to eliminate it, even though I believe it's $7.25. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, and the Republicans want to eliminate it. I mean, we got a governor in the state of Illinois, city of Chicago. We got a governor, Bruce Rauner. These people don't even talk about the minimum wage because they know it ain't going to happen with this governor. It used to be great talk around the water cooler at the offices and throughout Chicago and the state. But not anymore, because they know that an increase in the minimum wage in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois is not going to happen. We have a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature. They don't like each other. They blame each other for the situation that we're in. However, I blame the governor. I mean, a lot of people just blame the governor more so than the legislature, because it's the governor's problem that the state still doesn't have a budget. We still don't have a budget, folks. A budget means you can't spend money. It means that the governor is not paying his bills. And he's not. He's already taking money, freezing money for public schools. He's freezed that money for public schools. And, you know, it's going to eliminate a lot of school programs, after school programs, lunches, gym, all these things are going to go away. And they're going away because he will not allocate any money. The money is there, but he won't allocate it. Nothing's coming out of his pocket, but he just can't stand public schools and he can't stand the unions. And as long as he doesn't get his way of busting unions, he's not going to budge on a budget. And the irony of this, folks, this guy wants to run for re-election next year. He wants to run for re-election next year. And it's an all-out possibility that Illinois will not have a budget next year. We didn't have one all last year. We're not going to have one all this year because they can't get along. These are rich men. You know, they're not going to miss a paycheck. They're millionaires. But the rest of us who have to work for a living, you know, we're going to miss our paychecks. All these state workers, they're going to miss their paycheck if this thing goes through that attorney Lisa Madigan is trying to get through the courts. And what she's trying to get through the courts is that all paychecks for people who work for the state should stop. They should not be getting paid. Why is she saying that the paycheck should be stopped and that they should not be getting paid? Because we don't have a budget. So therefore, she's saying, if we don't have a budget, nobody should be getting paid because we don't have a budget. And in some cases, she's right. If you don't have a budget, you can't spend money. You're not supposed to spend money because it's the law. But in another case, I would be careful what she's saying, because she's talking about uprooting 60 to 75,000 state workers, their lives, uprooting their lives. People, I mean, they have their, they got to pay for their cars. They got to pay for their homes. They got to, the kids in college, maybe, you know, I mean, you'd be really, really putting a hardship on some of those good people. But these things are happening and they're going to happen. We have no budget. There's no budget in the state of Illinois. I'm surprised we're still standing. The only reason why we're still standing, and I've said this months ago, the only reason why Illinois is still standing without a budget for going on 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, is because of court orders. We're living off of court orders, not what the governor has done, not what the legislature is doing. We are living off court orders. Court orders where it's mandatory that some of these social programs be funded. Then the ones that are not court ordered, they are the ones that have suffered. A lot of these places have gone under. I mean, they've closed down, closed their doors. Mentally ill, mentally ill, the disabled, and other vital programs have closed their doors because of there not being a budget, and the mayor, I don't know, and the governor, pardon me, the governor is blaming the legislature. The legislature is blaming the governor, while the rest of us is stuck in the middle and things are just going downhill. And I do believe that Bruce Rauner is taking a few pages out of Donald Trump's book. And I do believe that, and I always will believe that. It's just a shame that we don't have a budget in the state of Illinois. And it's in the Illinois Constitution. The Constitution, which the Republicans don't give a damn about. They use the Constitution to wipe their butts regardless. It's in the Illinois Constitution that the governor must enact a budget for the state of Illinois every year, a yearly budget. And he's just blowing his nose on the Constitution. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. He's getting away with this. How can you break the law of the law of the Constitution, which is the law of the land, is which the way things should be done and should be done, and get away with it? Republicans wipe their butts with the Constitution and they get away with it. If a Democrat did the same thing to the Constitution as the Republicans do, the Democrats, they would have been thrown out of office on a rail, impeached. But the Republicans, they get away with this. For example, Donald Trump, the things that this guy done got away with, no one else in history would have gotten away with it. Donald Trump should be in handcuffs and hauled off to prison. And that's no lie, folks. That is no lie. He should be in handcuffs and hauled off into prison for the things that he's done. And I'm not talking about the things he's just done while being president, the things he's done in his private life, in his businesses. He should be, and the sexual assaults, he should be in jail, not the president of the United States. The Republicans would have impeached him so fast, your face would turn blue. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 5 more minutes left in the show. Ranting. I want to thank my guest, Renal Portofoy, if I can pronounce his name. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't seem to pronounce no one's name. But this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to thank my guest, Renal Portofoy. Okay. and the commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's been fun. It's been great, folks. And I do sometimes rant on the show because it's just so many things I care about. And I care about America. I care about the people. I care about what I do. I care about you out there. I want to see you be the best that you can do. If there is something I can help you with, you know, 347-857-1762. I'm on Facebook. Inbox me. You know, I'm right there. And if you want to talk, whatever you want to do, hey, this is the show for you. Contact me and let me know. And I will do my best to try to elevate you. But because that's what this show is all about. This show is about motivating you. This show is about making you a better person. I mean, with the guests that I have on the show and the things that they tell you, it's all about making your life better. There's no doubt about it, folks. I learn stuff too. I mean, when I have guests on the show, I'm like you. I'm eager to hear what they got to say because maybe I can get something out of this myself. So I'm just like you are. I'm just an average person just like you are. I'm not rich. I'm not poor either, but, you know, I'm like you. I'm working for a living. I'm struggling for a living. I'm doing this for a living. I'm struggling to pay my rent, mortgage, or whatever you want to call it. You know, just like you are, going to work every day, gym, whatever, you know, friends online, whatever, you know. So I'm just like you. You know, I'm just I'm there. So I know what your struggles are. I just about know what you're thinking, because this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it's always going to be that. It's always going to be that. And I enjoy doing what I'm doing, and I enjoy that you listen, and I enjoy that. And it makes me want to keep on with the show because I do love what I'm doing. And I think if you didn't love what you were doing, you should stop it. There's no reason for you to do something if you don't love it. If you don't love it, don't do it.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you join me tomorrow. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day, a great evening, a great weekend. Thank you for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bye-bye.